most of you are aware, after me having been here for 6 years, that I am not a fan of leftovers. I'm not sure why you would prepare meals with the thought that there would be cold things left over to be eaten at a later date. Well, that's how I grew up in my home. We would plan one meal with the understanding that there would be something left over, whether that would be for lunches or whether that be for another meal. One of the favorites that my mom and dad seemed to really like was leftover barbecued chicken. So my mom always prepared more than we could possibly eat on one night, so that there would be that leftover cold barbecue chicken later on in the week. And it was a favorite of my dad's, not mine. I used to dread those kinds of meals when I knew that Tuesday was barbecue chicken, which meant Thursday was leftover barbecued chicken. We would have the Christmas or the Thanksgiving meal at our house, and for 20 people in my family, my mom would make a 25-pound turkey. There was more turkey than any of us could ever eat, and we ate turkey for, it seemed, 2 weeks. It felt like we went from Thanksgiving, and remember, down in the States, Thanksgiving's at the end of November, so we ate turkey up to Christmas, and then we made another one. I'm not a huge fan of leftover turkey or leftover anything. In my home, we don't have a lot of leftovers. Now, that may have something to do with the 7 mouths that we feed, but the reality is, I'm not really a fan of leftovers. It's not something that I look forward to. I know that it needs to be eaten up, and I'm happy when someone else who likes leftovers wants to eat it up. I prefer something fresh, I prefer something hot, not something just pulled out of the fridge and eaten all over again. I don't use that illustration to simply tell you what I like or dislike, because I've shared that enough with you. You know I don't like lima beans and cream corn and pie and all those other kind of things. I don't see the need for those things in the world today, but they do exist. I'm not telling you what I like or dislike for any other reason but this. I want to illustrate the point. I think spiritually, folks, we are content with leftovers in the spiritual realm. I think we're content to feast upon that which is left over, or even worse, we're willing to give to others and to God what's left over from us. I personally believe that far too many Christians have taken the philosophy that it doesn't matter what I give God as long as I give Him something. Folks, I think God deserves far better than our leftovers. I always noted something as a child. When someone was coming to our house to visit, we never gave them leftovers. There was always something new and always something fresh prepared for them. For us, it was okay. Well, not for me, but for them it was. But you would never do that for the guests who came into your home. They were honored with a new meal. You know, the reality is, within the spiritual realm, I think we're very content just to give God any old thing and not give to Him our very best. I think God is deserving, and I think God desires the very best that we have to give to Him. Your leftovers aren't enough. It is not enough that we come and just give God whatever we have left, or to give God whatever we think is good enough. God is deserving of our very best. And He desires our best. This morning, I want to look with you at some principles found in God's Word that really do teach us that we are to give God our very best. Again, I think this is important. In a time of change, in a time of transition, in a time where people who were in positions and were serving aren't there anymore, The reality is that the church, you as one body, must work together and strive together for the glory of God and for His ministry. Philippians 1:27 makes that very clear, that you are to strive together for the work of God. That's going to require everyone doing their part. We have studied together in the past the concept of spiritual gifts. We have studied the concept of the body of Christ and how each one is a member of that body and each one has a responsibility within that body. And what is needed is that each member of that body not simply give God whatever's left over, but would strive to give God their very best. Again, throughout the scriptures, we find principles that guide us in the truth of giving God our best. Not only is it important that we mark them, but it's also important that we follow them. I want to look at several passages or several concepts found in the Word of God to help us understand why God deserves our best. Forgive me for 1 minute. I mentioned to someone this morning, they said, "Pastor, you sound like you have a cold." I have my January issue that I get every January when I stop at Christmas time and I get my sinus things. I stopped last week a little bit, and so I've gotten that little sinus thing going on, so I'm going to struggle through a little bit today, but you bear with me if you would. What are the principles found in God's Word for giving God our very best? I want you to take your Bible and open with me, if you would, this morning as we begin, to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And what I want you to see, first of all, with me from God's Word, is the principle of first place. When you study throughout the Bible, and you study specifically in the Old Testament, you're going to find a principle, and it's the principle of first place. From the very beginning of time, man has been put in a subservient position. It is God who made us. We have never been first. We were created by God, and therefore we are subject unto Him. And because we are the created being, God deserves to have the place of preeminence. All creatures are to honor Him with first place. But we understand that in the very beginning of time, there was one creature who desired to have preeminence, or who desired to be first. His name was Lucifer. We know him better today by the term Satan or the devil. We understand that Satan said, "I will exalt myself upon the very throne of God. I will be like the Most High." He didn't want to be subservient to God any longer. He wanted to take God's place. He wanted to be first. But the problem is, we are created beings, and therefore we are to put God in His rightful place. That was the same problem that Adam had. God made Adam and Eve, and God put them in the garden. God said to them one simple thing: "I have created this garden for you. You can eat of all the fruit of the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The fruit thereof you cannot eat." The Bible tells us that Eve was deceived by Satan, and she ate of the fruit, and Adam chose to eat of his own free will. And by doing so, he plunged the human race into sin, a sin that would bring forth death, both physical death and, more importantly, spiritual death. But the Bible tells us that God was not content to leave man there. God is rich in mercy and provided a means of redemption through Jesus Christ. Throughout the Old Testament, God then begins to show us in pictorial form His plan for mankind. And one of the ways that He shows us God's plan of redemption is through the sacrificial system. And God ordained that sacrifices be brought and that the blood would be shed. And through that truth, we find the story of redemption through Jesus Christ. Man would be required to bring a lamb. In Exodus chapter 12, I want you to look with me, if you would, in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of month. This shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your account for the lamb. Now notice verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it from out of the sheep or from the goats. God is now going to institute what we understand to be the Passover. But He requires that every house take a lamb. And verse 5 says that that lamb is to be a perfect lamb, without blemish, without spot. Folks, what that means is simply this. It is to be the best that they had to offer. They weren't just to bring any old lamb. They weren't supposed to bring one of the lambs that was near death anyway because it had been in their fold for so many years. They were to bring one of the new lambs, a perfect lamb without spot or blemish. That's what God wanted offered unto Him. He wanted their best, not just any old lamb. See, any old thing for God won't do. God is deserving of first place. He's deserving of our very best. And as these sacrifices were made, God required not what was left over, not their unwanted lambs. God required the best that they had. In fact, turn over to Malachi chapter 1 this morning for just a moment. Malachi chapter 1. In Malachi chapter 1, God has something against the people of Israel. In verse 12, God says, But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, The table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even the meat thereof, is contemptible. Ye said also, Behold, what a weariness it is. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye have brought that which was torn, and that which was lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this at your hand, saith the Lord? God has something against the people of Israel. They had been away in captivity. God had brought them back to the land. He has been providing for them now. He is restoring them as a nation. And they continue in the sacrifices, but they refuse to give God His proper place. They refuse to give Him that place of priority. They don't give Him the best. They bring that which is torn and that which is lame, because they believed we're in the process of rebuilding. We're in the process of having to establish ourselves again as the nation. We need the best. I'll give you what's left over, God, but I can't give you the best to build my flocks. But God says, you have polluted the offering because you refuse to give me what is best. See, folks, as you come to the Word of God, we find a principle of first place. We're not to bring that which is second rate to the Lord. We're to give Him our very best. If you take that thought a little further in the Old Testament, you're going to look at the offerings of Israel for the tabernacle. The people of Israel, God demanded that they would bring that they might be able to provide for the tabernacle. In fact, they honored God so much that they had the problem that Moses had to say, enough with the offerings, it's too much. Contrast that with the book of Haggai in chapter 1. And again, to the remnant people, God said, I have something against you. My house lies waste, while your houses are well done. My house deserves to be taken care of. My house deserves to be restored. You have built your own homes in reestablishing the land. Where is my home? Where is the temple? It lies waste. See, God deserves that which is best. As you come into the New Testament, the principle is pretty clear. In Matthew chapter 6, we are told, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are the things of verse 33? Well, the earlier part, you go back to verse 18 and 19, you can either lay up treasures on earth or you can lay up treasures in heaven. You can be concerned with your daily food and your daily clothing, or you can be concerned about the things of God. You can be living only for the things of this earth, or you can be living for the things of heaven. You can't do both. And the priority ought to be on the things of God. Why? Because God says, I'll take care of the things of earth. Honor me first. I want your best. And folks, in your life and in my life, from here to eternity, we ought to be firmly fixed on this thought. I will give my very best to God. I'm not going to give him what's left over. I'm going to give to him my very best. In fact, Paul would instruct us in a verse very familiar to us all. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it for what? The glory of God. The exaltation, the lifting up of God. To honor him. To show that he is worthy of that place of preeminence. Why must we give God our very best? Why must I give God the very best of my service within the church? Why must I give him the best of my time and the best of my talents, the best of my treasures? Why must I give him the best of everything? Because he deserves first place. There's a principle of first place. There's also this principle. It's called the principle of excellence. It's closely linked to the first. If God deserved first place, and he does, and we are seeking to serve him as we should, then should we not strive to serve him in a spirit of excellence? In whatever capacity we serve, whether that's singing in the choir, whether that's working in Sunday school, whether that's helping out when there's a need for the nursery, whether that's reaching out and sharing tracts and inviting folks to come to try to reach people with the gospel, whether that's working with our youth, whether that's the master clubs, whether that's helping out and doing some janitorial work on a work day, whatever it should be, doesn't God deserve that we do that excellently? I think he does. If God is first, and he is, at least he should be in your life and mine, then when I serve him, I ought to do it to the very best of my ability. Now, folks, here's the reality. Some might be better at it than me, but I need to do it to the best that I'm capable of doing it. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say the deacons call a work day. They say it's time for us to paint. It may not be your favorite thing to do to paint. Some people like it, some people don't. Some people are really picky when they're painting, some people aren't so picky when they paint. And those who aren't so picky when they paint maybe shouldn't volunteer to paint. Just a thought. But if you do volunteer to paint, when you come to paint, should you just say, well, the church ought to be glad that I'm painting, even though I don't like it, so I'm just going to slap it on the wall? Or should you do the very best to your ability to paint?
See, because those of us who like to paint will walk around and go, spot, spot, spot. Man, that roller just kept hitting the ceiling. You know what? That seems to show then for everyone else. The reality is, if I'm giving something to the Lord, should I not give my very best? And I think we should. Because he deserves things be done in the spirit of excellence. I want to look at a couple passages of scripture with you this morning in relation to that. First of all, turn with me in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. Basic principles. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, I have next to this verse in my Bible these words, spirit of excellence. That's what it says. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with all of thy might. In every task that I seek to accomplish, I am to strive to do it to the best of my abilities, because God is worthy of my best. Too often, we quit even before we try. But if God is asking us to take part in a ministry, we ought to put forth our very best effort. If God wants you to sing in the choir, then you ought to give your best at choir practice. You ought to show up on time. You ought to be there for every practice. You ought to be there and participate so that the choir leader can count on you. We ought to give our very best. If you've agreed to sign up on Master Clubs, what Brother Tim needs is not someone who says, yeah, I'll come whenever I can. He needs people that he can count on, people who will go home and study the lessons and pray and prepare so that they can minister to the heart of those children. Why? Because we're reaching them with the gospel. That's an eternal soul we're cared about, we're caring for. It's not just, oh, it's a ministry, they can take me or leave me. No, we need people to be involved. And we ought to give God our very best. God is worthy of our best, and whatsoever we put our hand to do, do it with all of your might. Do it in a spirit of excellence to the very best of your ability. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3 for a moment. Colossians chapter 3. Again, none of this is new or difficult for us to comprehend. It's a reminder of what we need. In Colossians chapter 3, it begins in verse 22 and says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong that he hath done, and there is no respecter of persons. Paul gives the very same concept of this spirit of excellence. He says in verse 23, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. That word heartily could be understood as very highly or exalted. Again, the concept there is to do it in the best spirit of excellence, the best of your abilities. Not half-hearted, but wholehearted. Not as seeking to please men, but seeking to please God. Because you are doing it not to men, you are doing it as unto the Lord, the verses say. Knowing that God one day will honor, God one day will reward. By the way, which would you rather have someday? The praise of men to thank you for all the things that you have done for them, or the grateful thanks and praise of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The problem is we sometimes forget that that day's coming. And all we focus on is whether or not people praise me now. And when someone didn't thank me for my service the next time around, I'm just not going to give as much heart to it this time. I won't give God my best. Folks, when I refuse to give God my best in everything, I stop serving Him and I've started to serve men. Whether someone ever stands up in the pulpit and personally thanks you for your service is of no consequence. Whether someone comes out and says to you, "Wow, you've done a great job with my kids in master clubs," it really doesn't matter. Whether someone ever comes up to you and says, "Thank you for singing in the choir," that's of no importance. Because when you do it, it's to be done as unto the Lord. It's for His to see, His to know, and His to recognize. Your part is to give God your very best, because He deserves it as the one who's in first place. One other verse I want you to see with me. 1 Corinthians 14, please. 1 Corinthians 14. Familiar verse. One that I think of often. One that I share with those serving often. Verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. The verse is within the context of spiritual gifts. There was a problem in the church of Corinth when it came to these spiritual gifts. The problem was that men wanted to be seen for their gift. They wanted to be known that they were serving. And there were some that belonged to the early church that I don't believe exists today that allowed people to see very clearly you had a gift. And Paul is writing to say there is a better way. There's better gifts than what you're seeking after. But the whole context boils down, and Paul says this: no matter what, everything needs to be done decently, and it needs to be done in order. We ought to do it excellently, properly planned, properly carried out. Not just thrown together. Well, I guess we'll do this week. Well, maybe we'll try this and see how that works. Well, I only have a few minutes, so I'll just kind of rush in and I'll do something real fast and that'll be good enough. But folks, God deserves our very best. If you're teaching Sunday school, He deserves your time of study and prayer and preparation. If you're working with children, He deserves the very same. If you're coming for a work day, He deserves the very best of your time. A work day is a day to, well, work. Sometimes we can run around and we can chit-chat or we can find other things to do instead of work. But you know what it's for? Work. We ought to give God our very best. You have an opportunity to minister and help someone, to sit down and counsel with them. Then the reality is what you need to do is give them the best of your attention, that you can really minister and meet their needs. If you tell someone, "I'm going to pray for you," you ought to follow through. Giving God our very best to do all things decently and in order. God ordained order and He ordained structure, and we ought to give Him our very best. The Bible makes it clear, I think, by way of principle, that God is deserving of our best. Because God deserves first place. God doesn't deserve our leftovers or something that we just kind of throw out without any thought. He deserves our very best. God doesn't deserve things done half-heartedly. But God wants us to do it in singleness of heart, heartily as unto the Lord, never withholding anything from Him. Each of these principles is worthy of our consideration, and each one is worthy of our obedience. God has always been pleased with those who put Him first and who have done their work in a spirit of excellence, and He'll be pleased as we follow these principles as well. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the practice of giving Him our best. Again, as a church, you're entering into a time of transition, a time where the service for the Lord is crucial. And again, I think it's important that we understand that we give Him our best, that we serve Him with all of our heart. Beginning of 2014, in our first meeting as deacons and as my first meeting with our staff, I gave a challenge very similar to this. Because, folks, one of the things that I began to see and note is that in some ways, that spirit and that desire was beginning to decline. And there needs to be within us a spirit to give God our very best. Folks who used to volunteer no longer would give of their time or energy or efforts. And folks, in a time like this, every person has to do their part. See, the deacons can't do all the work for you. And that's not how God designed it anyway. God designed it that there be a head, there be hands, there be legs, and there be feet, and each person do their part. I don't need to look around and say, boy, I wish I was the hand when I'm a foot. But if I'm the foot, I need to let my feet be used for God. And I can't look around and say, boy, I'm just the leg. I just kind of bear the weight of everything. I really like to be the mouth because I really like to be heard. Listen, God's given you a part to do, so do it, and do it heartily as unto Him in a spirit of excellence. For what purpose? That you can receive the praise? So that First Baptist could be honored? No. That Jesus Christ be exalted and lifted up. See, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, we do it all for the glory of God. Not as pleasing to men, but as serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who gave Himself for me. We sang this morning, no one cared for me like Jesus. Folks, if you understand the very love of God and what He has done and what He has provided for you, is there anything that's too much for God to ask? Any task that's too hard for you to do? Any amount of time that's too much of a sacrifice? See, when God instituted the sacrificial system, He said, bring me a lamb without blemish, without spot. He doesn't ask for your lambs today. He may ask for your time. He may ask for your talents. He may ask for your love and your compassion, forgiveness towards others. He may ask you to give of your treasures. He may ask to give of your home that you can be a blessing to others when they come. He may ask that you open up your life to people who are hurting. What will you give God when He asks of you a sacrifice? Something left over? Something that's torn? Or will you give Him the very best that you have to offer? We sing the song, give of the best of your master. Give of the strength of your youth. We give of our very best because we understand He gave His best for us. See, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He didn't give an angel to die for you and me. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave of His own life for us. He didn't give just another good man. He gave us Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He died for us. God became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We were deserving of hell and damnation, And he gives to us not purgatory, he gives to us heaven, where there are streets of gold and a pearly gate and walls made of 12 precious stones. And the only reason he ever tells us of it is because what we will see is the light of his glory and grace. Because in heaven is Jesus Christ. In heaven is God in fellowship with him. That's what he has given to you and given to me. Are you going to squabble at what you are asked to give of God now? God looked at the people of Israel and said, "You rebelled against me. You turned from me and served idols. I chastened you because I loved you, and now I brought you home, and you offered to me that which is torn and that which is lame. You build your homes and decorate them beautifully. Why, my house lies in waste." Folks, Israel was chosen not because they were a great people. They're a great people because God chose them. They were least of the nations. God in his love and mercy and grace and his sovereignty chose them. And through them all the nations of the earth were blessed. And what he asks in return is that those who serve him simply honor him by giving him their very best. Tonight I hope you come back. We want to look at some ways that we can practice giving our very best to the Lord. Let's pray together, please, as we close. Father, thank you for this time this morning. And Lord, I pray that these simple principles could be reminded of us often. For Lord, you are worthy of first place. You are worthy of preeminence. You are worthy of our best. And let us, I pray, do all things in a spirit of excellence in the days ahead, both in our lives individually and as a church, that Jesus Christ could be praised. Well, thank you, Father, and praise you for it all. We commit now this time as we close it before you. In Jesus' name, amen.